Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Rob Basham.
And Greta. Greta wrote that spoken word we started with today. That is original material. We are blessed to have so many talented people around this place. Hey, everything that we just prayed is possible because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. All of it. Once again, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Christ, this word that we so often use, it's not Jesus's middle name. It's not his last name. It's not two words that we put together when we hook a drive on the golf course or hit our finger with a hammer or spill coffee on our white Easter outfit on the way to church today. If that was you and you uttered those words, know that he probably laughed at the irony. That's just kind of who he is. Christ is actually a title. We should probably say Jesus the Christ. Christ is a title that means the anointed one. And today I want us to consider the question, what purpose was Jesus anointed for? What purpose was Jesus anointed for? Throughout scripture, we see this concept of anointing. It is usually done with oil and it's a person or a place is anointed. It's to set something apart. It's to mark something as the place where heaven has touched earth. It gives us a glimpse of these places where there's this thin veil between what is heaven, where things are the way they were intended to be, and what is earth, our reality here. You know what that is. Look around, watch the news. This concept begins in the Old Testament. We have this story in Genesis 28, and there's this man named Jacob that is out in the wilderness. And he decides that he's going to stay there and spend the night. And so he finds a nice rock, and he lays it to use as his pillow. This is a couple years before memory foam. And he puts the rock there, and he falls asleep. And while he's asleep, there is this dream that he has. He has an eternal, transcendent vision. And he sees the heavens open up and this ladder, and he sees the angels descending and ascending from heaven. And he awakens from the dream, and he knows that he's had this experience. He knows that he's caught a glimpse of heaven. So he turns his pillow upright, and he pours out anointing oil on it to testify that we have had a glimpse of heaven touching earth. The Israelites, as they're wandering in the desert, they build out the tabernacle and they take all of the furnishings and they anoint each and every furnishing. And then the glory of the Lord falls as a cloud upon the tabernacle, a glimpse of heaven touching earth. It's what we've prayed this morning. In the Old Testament, we know that the kings, as well as the prophets, are anointed with oil, setting them apart as conduits between heaven and earth, bringing the ways of God to the people of God. But all of this Old Testament anointing points forward to the anointed one, Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ shows up. And when he gets to the point where he is about to begin his earthly ministry, he is first anointed. We see it happen down at the Jordan River where his cousin John has been baptizing people, and Jesus shows up and his first anointing is not with oil, but it is with water and the power of the Holy Spirit descending upon him. We read about it in Mark chapter 1. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." Shortly after this, Jesus heads home to his village, Nazareth, and he attends the synagogue where he grew up. And he's identified as a person who will read the scripture of the day, and the scroll is handed to him. And it's here that we see for what purpose he came. He's given the scroll of Isaiah. Isaiah 61 reads, The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to those who mourn, that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. This is the word of the Lord. And as Jesus read this out, he simply closed the scroll and said, "This has been fulfilled today." What was he anointed for? Isaiah 61 gives us the clue. He was anointed to be the conduit between heaven and earth, to redeem and to restore all of creation, including us. He came to set the captives free, to bring the good news, to declare that favor with God, Creator God, is now available, a crown of beauty instead of ashes. And yet, for this to be realized, in order for him to walk fully in his anointing, a price had to be paid. A ransom had to be offered to repair the broken conduit between heaven and earth. It was broken because of the betrayal that took place in the garden. To restore it, the debt was paid. He stepped in. He took my place. He took our place. He took your place. But what was the payment? The second anointing of Jesus gives us a hint. We find it in Mark chapter 14. In Mark 14, we have this story, and it says, "Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and she poured the perfume over his head. And some of those at the table were indignant. 'Why waste such an expensive perfume?' they asked. 'It could have been sold for a year's wages, and the money, it could have been given to the poor.' So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, 'Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed.'" Church family, we remember it today. But what was the hint? The hint was a confusing word. His body anointed for burial. I cannot imagine how confusing this rebuke to the disciples would have been. How confused were they? "Jesus, what are you saying? You're going to die? Not you. You're the one with the power. You are the Messiah that was sent to rescue us, to free us from the oppression and the Roman occupation we find. You're not going to die. Jesus, what are you talking about?" And yet, his prophetic words and her prophetic acts would soon be fulfilled. Jesus would be arrested, tried, and sentenced to a sinner's death. It was unjust. The anointed one, sent to bring heaven's life to earth, was crucified. This wasn't just a hard concept for the disciples in that day. This is a hard concept for us still to understand and grasp, especially for the kids in the room. It hits them sometimes different than it hits us. I'll never forget when my oldest was just starting to understand the picture Bible she had, and when she realized that these Roman soldiers were hurting her friend Jesus, indignant. She just was so angry. For hours, this anger overtook her. Or my friend Callahan, a four-year-old that goes here this week, who prayed at dinner, "Dear Jesus, thank you for today. I hope this is good food. I pray Jesus will not get killed. His mom asked, why would you pray that, Cal? Says, they keep killing him in my class at church. I get it, Cal. He only had to die once. But may we adults in the room be like the kids around us and not become overly familiar with this story. May it not lose its shock value. Jesus, the one sent, the Son of God, dies. He hangs on the cross. His last words, it is finished. What was the purpose of his anointing? What was finished? The payment was paid, the deposit was received, and with it, healing became available to all of us. 1 Peter 2:24 says it so succinctly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. By his wounds, you are healed. But the story did not end in the grave. When it seemed like the mission had simply been accomplished, the Gospel of Mark tells us about one final anointing, because we have these three women that go to the market to buy the burial spices and oils, and they head to the tomb. They head to the tomb to anoint Jesus one last time. But when they arrived, the stone was rolled away. We read about it in Mark Chapter 16. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. But the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell the disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died." You see, the third anointing never had to take place because the king had conquered death. For these grieving women, the words of Isaiah were fulfilled immediately, a crown of beauty and replacing their ashes, a joyous blessing repeated just instead of the mourning, festive praise replaced their despair. Go tell the disciples, the celebration has begun. Christ entered the world in humility, and he filled it with the life of heaven. Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. He conquered. He was victorious. He is risen. He is risen indeed. His mission leads us to two invitations today. The first is an invitation for those of you in the room who have declared your allegiance to Jesus. On this Easter weekend, I invite you to celebrate, to sing, to declare that he is victorious. But there's something further that I want to challenge you with. You see, if you've accepted him, if you believe that he is who he says he is, it comes with a calling. Because when you just agree with the truth of who he is, a title is given to you. You are now called a Christian, the root of which is Christ, which means that now you are the anointed ones. Now the words of Isaiah are true within you. You are now the ones that are called to bring the good news to the poor, to comfort the brokenhearted, to release the captives. You and me are the ones who get to bring the joy everywhere we step. We're the ones that get to bring heaven to earth as we go from place to place in our community, bringing his peace, his power, his presence with us wherever we go. And so on this Easter Sunday, church family, I bless you with the courage to live into the title Christian. And I remind you of your commissioning. I invite you to live out this anointing in the days and the weeks ahead. And there's a second invitation for us this morning. For those of you in the room that find yourself questioning and searching, and you're here today to try to figure out what all this celebration is actually about, the invitation for you today is to recognize that you have a Creator God who extravagantly pursues those he loves. He wants you to live in freedom. He wants to bestow upon you the comfort and hope that the prophet Isaiah predicted. He longs to commune with you and bring healing to your soul. And when Jesus died, that access was granted. His debt tore the curtain that separated us from the presence of a holy God. How do we respond to such an extravagant invitation? We're told in the book of Romans in chapter 10 that if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As our worship team comes, wherever you find yourself on this journey, we want to give you the opportunity today to live into that kind of freedom, the freedom that costs a lot. If something is stirring in you this morning, if there's a nudging, if your heart is beating a little bit faster, can I encourage you to respond? We've got a few more songs that we are going to sing, and can I encourage you, sometimes big decisions in life require movement, and can I encourage you to come here to the cross with your burdens, to lay them down, to surrender to Christ, to declare to someone that Jesus rose from the dead for you. There'll be people here at the cross that would love to pray with you and for you, and we'd love to have you join us in our tradition of nailing a ribbon to the cross as an act of worship with the decision. And here's the beautiful thing about it. The Word of God tells us that when we make this decision, when we declare and believe in our heart that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, this is our anointing. If God is stirring you, would you come and receive your anointing this morning? Come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you in this place. As we continue to worship and declare your goodness, I pray that courage would break out in this room, that courage to live into our title as Christ followers, as Christians, would be real. And Lord, that those that you are drawing, that you are nudging to come to the cross, would find the boldness and the courage to come. Receive our praise. May it be a pleasing aroma to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.